Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Call to serve.
That's one of the things we're going to be talking about in our sermon earlier, later on today, our call to serve. And by the times in our service, what happens is we get a little tired, get a little worn down. And so in Proverbs 27:17, it says, iron, this is the King James Version, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And so there's a presumption here that the iron of this man is worn down. And, you know, a lot of times we can talk, but if you're worn down, then you're not effective. A drill bit, if the drill bit is not sharp, you can put it in the most powerful drill. You can align it up to do the work that needs to be done, turn it on and put it to work. But if the drill bit is not sharp, what happens is it gets even more dull. And so what you need is you need an instrument to be able to sharpen that drill bit so that it can carry out the work that it's designed to perform. And so here we're looking at men and ministry and leadership in a community, and it just seems like that we have a lot of dull, worn out men. And a lot of times it's because they're a faithful few. I know the Bible talks about when Jesus was talking about the laborers, it said that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few, and that's where that term, the faithful few, comes from. And so the faithful few have been worn down. And so what we need is, in the area of men, in order for us to be the leaders, is we need something or someone, instrument, to come alongside and to help sharpen. So when that verse 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So the second part of that is that countenance is the feeling or the attitude or the disposition of another man needs to be sharpened. Encouragement needs to be bought for him on a regular basis so that he can continue to do the hard work at task. So I mentioned the drill bit earlier, and a drill bit is designed to do tough work. It's designed to poke holes into hard substances. It's designed to bore into difficult substance to make the substance different. And so when men are tasked to make a difference, it takes work, it takes heat, it takes longevity. It's not a thing where you just dip right through. You have to really cause friction to bore, to dig deep, to make a difference in whatever the material is at hand. And so sometimes in that you get wore down and then you get burnt out and need to be sharpened or retooled in order to continue that work. And so this example of the proverbial book of Proverbs says that we need to be sharp, and we need to have our countenance restored. We need to have our encouragement lifted, be encouraged. And the Bible says this comes from friend. So we need to be sharpened because we become dull. We need to be encouraged, and the Bible says this needs to be done by a friend. a lot of times men we're lone wolves, and we don't have any friends or people that I call that are going in the same direction as you. It's like you have to have someone with you that can recognize when you're getting worn down, and then you can recognize them when they're getting worn down. And to have that iron or someone of the male, a male friend that can say, hey, I recognize my partner here, or my brother is getting tired, and I need to come alongside, and I need to encourage him and to sharpen his countenance, to get with him and let him know, hey, we're going to get through this whole we're going to get through this material, we're going to make a difference. And someone that can come alongside and do that will help, and together those two sharpening each other, whatever work is at hand, they'll be able to get to it. Looks like we got a caller on the line. We're going to go to a caller, and as always, we call out the last four digits of the phone number and let you know you're on the air. So we're going to go to 4061. 4061, you're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I woke up this morning excited about this word today about iron sharpening iron, and how that men get worn down, and that we need another man to come alongside and sharpen us and encourage us and to be a friend. And I just want to share with everyone that Dr. Grimes is a good friend of mine, and that he often helps sharpen me up. And when he gets excited, he helps me to get excited and stay sharp. So, Dr. Grimes, I thank you for being that iron that helps sharpen me as your friend.
Well, I thank you for doing the same for me, Pastor. I mean, this scripture, you know, it makes it plain, but it's so true. As men, not only men, but as Christians, as people, we need to have that energy renewed. I think as men, it's so important, because men have so many things that we have to do, and especially when it comes to the church, like you said, the number of men is definitely drastically smaller than the number of females. And so when you are a Christian brother and you're trying to do work for the kingdom, it seems that it's easier for us to get wore out, because it seems like there's so much to be done, and you have a few brothers that's trying to get it done, and it can be hard. I admire your work ethic and your dedication to the ministry and all that you do and continue to do for the Heart of God Baptist Church, and with the ministry and the various ministries that you continue to lead, especially the First Word and the other things that you have going on, and the dedication, the Bible study, prayer meeting. It takes time to do that, and you know it's so important to continue to have that renewed strength. Otherwise, we'll run out of strength, and we might fall out. But you know, thank God for His grace and His mercy, and the fact that He continues to strengthen us, and that we can continue to run the race.
Amen. And it is a race, and it's a thing of longevity in it for the long run. I was talking earlier about a drill bit, and in my trade, I've seen drill bits worn out. And when the drill bit gets worn out, basically they can't do the work. and they heat up and heat up and heat up and heat up, but they can't do the work. And so the only thing you can do is stop, is to remove it from the drill, and to use a sharp object to sharpen it again. And so when I want to touch base this year as many men as possible, is that you can be resharpened, and to encourage them that, you know, just because you got burnt out, just because you got taken out of the drill, doesn't mean you can't get sharpened back again and put back in the drill and be used by God again. I think a lot of times once people have burnt out. I think the enemy sometimes discourages them and say, "Hey, man, you burnt out. You're not up to the task. You wore out. You're no good. You're not of any use." I think that's a tactic of the enemy. But I think as men, we need to come alongside those brothers who have burned out, and sharpen their counsel, and come along the other side of this friend. I know there's been preachers, there's been deacons, there's been just men in the church in general who are burnt out. And, you know, that's why you have another hard substance, and God realizes that we all get burnt out. Like I said, I thank God for you, because you come along and you help me even in some of the smallest things that you might not think, just your personality or just your a text message or something, that sharpens me to let me know I'm not in it by myself. And that's what we have to do as men. We have to build a iron sharpening network. And I know there's a tool that we use in my trade, and it's called a bit sharpener. And what you do is you turn the wheel on and you keep pushing the drill bit against the tool. And what happens is a whole drawer full of dull, wore-out bits that just get thrown aside now become useful again. And so I think that's the challenge of men working with men, is to encourage each other that you know, even though you got worn out to the point where you weren't effective at one point, you can be sharpened and you can be effective again. And I think that's the challenge this year and going forward, is to reach out to those brothers who are worn out for whatever reason, who you know, got out of being effective and being used, is to encourage them as friends and sharpen their counseling to the point where they can say, "Hey, I can be used again, and the enemy is a liar. And no matter what he says, I can use me. God can still use me. I can be effective in my home, in my church, in my community." And that's something that's difficult for men to get over, because you tried, you did what you could do, and then some kind of way you got burnt out, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, I'm burnt out, and I'm not doing it anymore. I'm tired. I did everything I could, and now I'm just not doing anything." And I find a lot of men in that situation. Dr. Brian?
Amen. I agree. It's like people at a point get disheartened, you know, and there's an old saying that if you keep doing the same thing and you expect a different result, that's insanity. But I think the difference is that when it comes to ministry, we have to realize that, number one, we're not doing it unto man, and number two, that we have a power source that's different. When we combine prayer and worship, and we put God first and allow Him to order our steps, then though we may be doing some of the same things that we have done before, we can see results, because it's about the spirit in which it's done, and it's about following God and allowing Him to have His way. Sometimes we've tried to do it our way, and maybe we haven't been successful because we were doing it our way. And so we have to yield way to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to be our lead and our guide. And like you said, it's the work of the enemy. The enemy just tries to beat us up, and he tries to discourage us, but he's doing his job. You know, he's just doing his job. And when we get to a place where we as a man can realize that, hey, that's what he does. Just like, you know, you think about your secular job. Everybody's not the most pleasant to deal with. We don't quit our job because that's how we eat and that's how we pay the bills. Right. And so we learn, okay, that's how that individual is, and then we begin to deal with that person accordingly. And I think what we need to do as men in the church is we need to do the same and use the same methodology when it comes to dealing with the enemy. Understand that he is who he is. He going to do what he does. He's just doing his job. But in order for us to reap the heavenly benefits and the heavenly rewards that God has for us, there's a work for us that has to be done. And therefore, we can't allow the enemy to force us to throw in the towel and call it quits and walk away, because we have something at stake. And I think if we could get people to see that, to see it in that light, the same way that we don't just walk off no job because we need it.
Right.
Well, we can't just walk away from church and ministry because we need it.
And that's powerful. And one thing that I want to touch base with in regards to that is as far as leadership and as leader, as a pastor of a church, a lot of times you look at the men and sometimes it seems like men do not like the structure of leadership. It's like, well, he's just a man like I'm a man. and that, you know, they don't give the proper attention to leadership. Now, I can understand that leadership is way off base and not doing what they're supposed to do, but if you have a leader that's leading by example, Jesus said, or Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What is it that, number one, would cause men not to want to do that? And then, number two, what is it that would encourage them to follow leadership?
Well, you know, I think that for some reason there has been this connotation that if you're a man and you're working in church or you go to church all the time, that somehow you solve. And I don't understand that. I really don't understand that, but I have noticed that even since I was a child, that there seems to be some type of connotation that people have. And then maybe I think another pitfall is that people begin to think that because they may have issues and things going on in their life that they're not yet perfect. What I've often heard is I'm trying to get myself together. And when I get myself together, then I'll be there. Like they have to present themselves perfect. And so it's like some people, you know, they sit in the church house and they feel like they're on fire because maybe of some of the things that's in their life, but understanding that the church is the hospital for the sick and that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God from the pulpit to the back door. And so, you know, the doors are open so that we can, once we get in there, we can allow the Holy Spirit to come into our life, and that's where we can begin to change. Some of those strongholds are works of the enemy that he has used to keep us bound. And I think about, just talking about this, I think about the brother that was living in the tombs, who was bound in chains. And see, it's God that has the ability to loose the chains and breathe new life into us. And I think that, you know, I agree. I remember we had a conversation and you were talking about the message is the same, but the methodology has to be different. Yeah. And I agree because there has to be a way to reach these brothers. And to think that they're just going to come into the doors of the church, I think at this point is an unrealistic expectation. And it's now time to find a way to get out there and bring the word to them right where they are, like Jesus would do, meet them where they are, and let's just have a conversation. Let's have a conversation and let you know what's available to you, what you're missing out on. I know you're going through some things, but if you're tired of being sick and tired and you're tired of living it this way, there is a God who gave his son that you might have right to eternal life. And if you would allow us, let's just fellowship. Come on and see. And see, won't God do it? And you know, there's a buddy of mine in Tallahassee, and he always says that, I tell you what, if you give God a try and you find that he's not all right, the devil be glad to have you back.
I like that, Tallahassee.
He said, just like try him and see. See if he's all right. And if you don't think he's all right, hey, the devil be glad to have you back.
go ahead, get you back. Right, that's great. I just sometimes as a leader, I need that countenance to say, hey, you know, what is it that is there something, you know, I'm examining myself, my walk, my talk. What is it that I'm doing that would discourage folks from brothers from giving it a try. And so I'm always constantly examining the way I'm ministering and to say, is it something that I'm doing? And, you know, what if it, if I'm not doing it, what approach would I do to reach men? And I think a lot of times it's just a thing of men just want to be men, and they find it hard to be in leadership. But I think sometimes we have to use the sports analogy, and you know, even sports, you know, men have trouble with leadership. But when they understand and come together as a team for the common goal, it's one of the strongest bonds out there. When if you ever played on a sports team and you got a group of guys that one accord, and someone's willing to take a pick or someone's willing to take a charge to get that person open so that person can score so the team can win. And that's the mindset that I try to use as the example, is that I'm willing to do whatever it takes, and, you know, want some men to come alongside and to do whatever it takes to get victory. I mean, in basketball, you got a point guard that sets up the play. In football, you have a quarterback that calls the signal. You have baseball, you have everybody playing a position, you know, pitcher. He's initiating, but everyone needs to be able to play as a team under the direction of leadership. And if everyone comes together, then the team can be victorious. But the enemy knows it also. And I think, as I learned after years in leadership, if he can get one or two players on the team unhappy, it can affect the whole team. I was looking at some of the Super Bowl teams, and even the Seahawks team, where earlier in the season they got rid of one of their player. I forget who it was, but I think his disposition wasn't sharpening to the rest of the players, but it was hurting the team, and he was released. And that's, I think that's the challenge. Like I said, we know the iron sharpens iron, but just to get the players on the team to work together for the common cause. You know, Jesus had a player in his core group that just wanted to push the issue. And, you know, Jesus, you need to come and you need to, you know, set up the kingdom right now. And Jesus said, you know, I came to set up the kingdom of people's hearts first. And Jesus was just adamant that he couldn't see, or he wouldn't follow leadership, and so that there's always that element in leadership in men, sharpening men, that if there's one guy that doesn't want to sharpen, doesn't want to follow the sharpen, then that's the challenge. And I think that we have to recognize that. And we have to continue to talk about that in order to keep the team together. You know, we live in a world of free agency. Everybody wants to go on this team. Everybody wants to go on that team. Nobody wants to stay and you know, do the hard work for the team to stay successful for a long period of time. Dr. Brown?
I mean, you made that thing plain, Pastor. You made that thing plain, the team effort and how, as a team, you work together for that common goal to win the championship. That thing right there will preach. And I think it's ironic that when you, and I'm glad that you mentioned the Seahawks, because when the Seahawks got rid of some of those players that they deemed to be cancerous, that they deemed to not fit in with the vision that they had, many folks believed that they had given up too much talent. There was no way that they could get back to the Super Bowl. But then I look at a team like Seattle, and I mean, not only did they get to the Super Bowl, but when you look at how they got to the Super Bowl, and in that game against the Packers, it come down to the last 3 minutes. And one thing that I like about what the quarterback said, and I don't know if too many people caught hold of it, But they, I mean, when you watch that game, if you watch that game, by man standards, Green Bay should have won that game. They should have blown them out. But when you watch that game and you couple it with what Russell Wilson said at the end of the game, if that don't tell you that there's a God somewhere, I mean, it was like God used football to show who's really in control. And I remember at the end of the game, Russell Wilson said, when they said, how did you manage to come back and stay in the game? And you know what he said? He said, God prepared me for this moment. He said, God prepared. And a whole lot of people, see, they lost that because they got caught up in everything else. But he said, God prepared me for this moment. And as Christians, when we allow ourselves to be sharpened, when we allow ourselves to be team-minded, when we're willing to set the pick and we're willing to take the charge and we're just willing to follow the vision, God prepares us for moments like that, where we seem to be against all adversity, when we seem to be up against the wall, when it seems like we can't win, but God. And at the end of it, we realize we were prepared, we were ready, we saw the attack, we saw the opposition, we saw the adversity, we knew to go to prayer, we knew to go to God, and we held our ground, we stood firm, and we watched God take us to victory. If that thing doesn't preach, I don't know what does.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And, you know, that's what it takes. It takes that going to the Word, seeing what the Word says, using and preparing for a task that we have as men in ministry. So, wow, time went fast. But it was good. It was good. And I just encourage everyone to go back to the archives and listen. Spread the word. Tell somebody about it and get involved, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Remember, iron sharpens iron. And so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Dr. Grimes, appreciate you this morning. Prayerfully, we'll see you later on in ministry today. And we look forward to it. All right, that's going to do it for this morning. Everyone have a good night. Good morning. Goodbye.
Bless you.